Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I'm very excited to speak tonight. I cherish and honor the opportunity to do so. So I'm going to speak to you tonight about just, it's based out of John 11. And I just want you to be specific. Be specific. You know, I heard that growing up where you give an answer to maybe a teacher or a parent or a coach, and you more just give out the broad answer to a question. And they say, be specific. So that's what I'm gonna charge you with tonight, is to be specific. Because I'll tell you what, life happens. And things happen. And it almost knocks us off a course, and then my mom explains it so well, but in a long flight, that just to be off a half degree or 1 degree, you end up, at the end of your flight, you end up at a completely different place. So I want to charge you with to be specific. We're going to read out of John 11. First off, this message is for anybody who has had a dream, an idea. Maybe it's a business idea or something that you wanted to do, but then life happens. I'll tell you what is awesome about the church. What's awesome about the church is it's not for the perfect. It's not. I think that too many times the devil tricks us. We trick ourselves to think, wait, well, I'm going to get my life in order before I go to church. But yet that's backwards. Then when we get to a place where life happens and we do things and our life's in shambles, this should be the first place that we come. The church is for the broken, the hurting, because we have the answer. We know how to fix them. We don't fix them, but we know how to. And that's with Jesus, that he's the answer. So I absolutely love the church. I love that everything we stand for, because from the beginning, it was come as you are. But don't expect to leave the way you came. And I think that is huge for a hurting world. I mean, a hurting world. It's amazing that no matter what you get on, whether it be social media or you turn on the TV or you talk to a friend, it's bad. Whatever it is, it's bad. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. But yet we can have an opportunity to come to a place where we worship the guy who's in control. And that's what's awesome. That we don't have to worry about the outcome, because we know the outcome is going to be good and it's going to be better than we could even imagine. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into the word. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, to sit under your word, Lord. I thank you that you open our hearts to receive your word. Lord, I thank you that they're not my words, but they're yours. And I thank you that it hits every person exactly where they sit, exactly how they need to hear it, and exactly what they need to hear. Lord, we thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for miracles. And we thank you for an unbelievable service. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John 11. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. So they come to Jesus. He knows Lazarus. He's his friend. He says, the man that you love is sick. It's almost a ploy to get him. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and the Son of God may be glorified through it. The sickness is not unto death. So they come to him worried, they're freaking out, because their brother is about to die. He's sick. So they come to Jesus, and what I love there is he says, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. God is not glorified through sickness. He's glorified through the healing. So please don't get that twisted. There are religions that would say that God put a sickness on you to teach you something. It's not the case. His glory is in the healing, not in the sickness. Okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Because it's not a, yeah, anyways. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he heard that he was sick and he stayed 2 more days in the place he was. I absolutely love that verse in this passage. So listen to this and think about if you were Jesus. So you hear that your good friend is sick and is about to die. Okay, he's about to die, so he stays 2 more days. I would get up and go, wherever it was, if I had a friend that was sick and I could help them, I'd get up and go. But Jesus stayed for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And then we're going to jump to verse 11. These things he said after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about him taking rest in sleep. Now, I want to speak to a little bit about your dream or about your idea or whatever that may be that you think is dead. It's not dead, it's just asleep. As in the story, Jesus talks about Lazarus like he's asleep. To the point where the disciples were confused because they thought, okay, if he's asleep, then he'll wake up again. So then he has to let them know that, no, he has actually died. That no matter how many times you think you blew it, no matter how far away your dream seems, it's not dead. It's just asleep. I'll tell you what I feel like. It's when you're going towards that thing, that dream, that idea, whatever it may be, you're going towards it, and it seems like you're being attacked. You hear from the Lord, you know it's from the Lord, so you move forward, but then it feels like you're being attacked. Your blessing, your breakthrough, your dream is on the other side of that storm. So you praise God in that storm. So it's on the other side. The enemy only attacks threats. You have to realize that. If you're under attack, it's because you're a threat to the enemy. He's not going to waste his resources on just anybody. So if you feel like you're under attack, keep going. Don't stop. On the other side of that storm is breakthrough, is blessing, is an unbelievable future. You know, you hear people say, well, I'm just stressed. Oh, hey, what's wrong with you? Ah, I'm just stressed. You're not just stressed. That's the enemy attacking your peace. So combat that. Your relationship with God is not fragile. I think so many times we think, you know what? He's just waiting for us to mess up so he can strike us with another disease or so he can give us another sickness. But no, our relationship with God is not fragile. It's strong. It's a covenant. It's blood strong. It's not something that he's looking to smite you with something. He's waiting for you to mess up. No, he wants the best for you. Verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, and get this, because she says, I know that my brother will rise again, but it's in the resurrection of the last day. So Jesus then says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who came to this world. You know, I look at the story and you look at the 12 disciples and they're just unbelievable men. But I think in our heads, we think that they're perfect. When in all reality, you read through the history of the 12 disciples and they're not perfect. I mean, imagine what they would be today. I don't know if we'd pick them out of a lineup. They were not perfect, but you think that you have to be in order for God to use you, but look at them. I'll tell you, I love this because it translates so well to just, you have that thing that you wanted to do. You have that idea. Maybe you had kids and it got put on the back burner. Maybe there's something that you want to do, but again, life happens. I want to encourage you tonight that it's not dead. It's just asleep. Verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews were with her in the house and comforted her. And when they saw that Mary rose and quickly went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. I'll tell you what's interesting about the two different approaches that the sisters have. Both of them say, if you would have just been here, he wouldn't have died. Because they knew the power that came with Jesus. They knew the authority that came with Jesus. But both of them said, if you would have been here, he would not have died. But it was only Martha that said, but I know that whatever you ask for, you will receive, and he will rise again. Verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. You know, I think of the verse Jesus wept because in kids' church, that was always one of the trivia questions was, what was the shortest verse in the Bible? Well, Jesus wept, and I think that as we were kids, you'd think about it, and you just pass right through it. But to me, it showed so many things that the Bible says that he groaned in his spirit, and that he wept. First off, I think that Lazarus was a true friend; that this is somebody that he cared about. But then I also you start to think about, okay, so he groaned in his spirit because he knew that the enemy and the grips of death had Lazarus. He knew that they wept for him, and he wept with them, with Jesus. The currency of your elevation is in your mouth. Jesus sent his word ahead of him. At the very, very beginning of the story, he says, this sickness is not unto death. He spoke it. Then he says, Lazarus is asleep. Then he says, Lazarus is dead. And then, let's go to him. So we go through the progression, but he sent out his word ahead of him. Lazarus was dead before Jesus knew that he was sick. So as they came to tell Jesus that Lazarus had been sick, Lazarus had already died. Because earlier it says that he had been dead for 4 days. So he knew that Lazarus was dead before Jesus knew, but he spoke before he was in the tomb and before the tomb was shut. That's going to be a key here. So he spoke before he was in the tomb and the tomb was shut with the stone. So here's the amazing thing about this. The stone in this is the law. It's what you should get. It's what the outcome should be. But Jesus spoke grace before, the stone was shut, and he spoke grace after. That grace surrounded the law. Even though that dream looks dead, even though that idea looks dead, it's surrounded by grace. Because grace was spoken before, and then there was the law, and then he spoke grace again. Jesus didn't say at the beginning of the story that Lazarus wouldn't die. He said he wouldn't stay dead. So it might look absolutely bleak. Your situation might look bleak. That relationship might look like it's dead. It's not dead. It's just asleep. That relationship with your parents or your kids or your sisters or your brothers, it's not dead. It's just asleep. Because there's grace before it, and we come with grace. Again, this just reiterates to me that he's the author and he's the finisher. That he spoke before and then he spoke after. Let's read on. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" So then I go back to where he says that I'm glad I wasn't there, because then you wouldn't have seen the glory. Because then you wouldn't have seen the glory of this miracle. That this miracle wouldn't have been enough for you to see. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and the stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you will always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Loose him and let him go. He reiterates in this that I know that you have heard me, that he had already spoken this miracle. Before he even got there, he said, "The sickness is not unto death." And God did not leave him hanging in the situation that the sickness was not unto death. I just want to let you know that when we go through life, we're so afraid, and I think we build up what the power of the enemy can really do. We build it up to be bigger than what it really is. The devil cannot write your story. He can only read it. He's with you in it. He can't write it. He can only read it. God can. That he is in control. I think so many times we think that the devil is doing this and the devil. No, the devil is just reading your story. He's not writing it. He can throw out little traps. He can throw out stuff for you to get tripped on. But he can't write your story. He can only read it. When Jesus saw the grief, he groaned in his spirit. Groaning is to make a deep sound in response to pain or despair. He hurt because of this situation. The resurrection is not an event. I think we get that misconstrued. The resurrection is not an event. It's a man. The resurrection is Jesus. The resurrection to your relationship is Jesus. That resurrection to that dream that's been inside of you that you have almost forgot about because it's been so long and it's been asleep for so long, that he is the resurrection. He a Lazarus come forth. Be specific. Be specific with your miracle. I don't want you just to throw out a blanket answer. Be specific. If he would have just said, if you're dead, come forth. Or just come forth. It was a graveyard. Every dead body would have gotten up and walked out. I mean, for real. That's the power that he walked in. But he was specific. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. So then he did. Be specific with your miracle. You have not seen your best days. You haven't seen your best days. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what you've been through, what you've seen, what you've heard. I don't care. Your best days are in front of you, not behind you. Those of you that think you've disqualified yourself because of some decisions that you've made, you haven't. You can't out-sin grace. Where sin abounds, grace no more abounds. So you can't out-sin grace. What you've done, your past, your history does not define you. You know what? I know that call was on my life, but I messed up way too much to actually move forward to that. It's not dead. It's just asleep. You can't out-sin grace. Please don't let the past disqualify you. Let the past be the past. Move forward. Look out at what's ahead. We have not seen our best days. And I love, as we've come into 2017, the 25th year of the church, that it's grace upon grace. We're entering days of grace. We're in days of grace. That's unmerited favor on your lives. So please don't disqualify yourselves. The only thing that can disqualify you, or the only person who can disqualify you, is you. So get out of your own way. Let God have control. And let's see what 2017 can really bring. What if we all got in unison? What if we all forgot about our past? We left all the stuff that we're dealing with. As we walk through the doors, we leave the stuff of the world back, because the world is a hurting place. Bad news after bad news. Whether it's good or bad, it's bad news. So what if we truly make a place that people can come and they can feel welcome? People that are hurting, we have the answer. We have the medicine. It's Jesus. There's so much power in that name. We sang it tonight. It's a powerful name. It has no rival. It has no equal. It will forever reign as the name above every name. So please understand that as you go forward, it's not just you going into the world. It's you with God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.